Hey everyone, this is Stacey Carno with Midwife Your Life and the Multi-Passion Mama Interview Series, and today I am just delighted to have Mindy Sonas on the line. She is the creator and hostess of WishStudio.com, a lifestyle designer, a heart-centered artist, a mother of two boys, and loves anything pink. A dreamy visionary and contemporary bohemian, she loves to craft unique ideas that bring people together and inspire them to embrace the very best in themselves and in one another. With passion and creativity, she believes in your stories and the everyday magic of how life and love connect us all. I think that must be the most lovely bio I have ever read
of anyone. Oh, thank
Mindy.
You so much.
Oh my gosh, well Mindy, thank you so much for being on this call with me, and I'm so thrilled just to get this opportunity to talk with you, for myself, and then to get to share it with our listeners, because again, yeah, if people didn't get that from your bio, I mean, your website, your writing, everything you do really just exudes love and compassion, and so I want to
thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. Thank you.
And it's an absolute honor to be on the show, and it's going to be a wonderful little journey we have in front of us. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm really excited too. I love that you used the word journey, because I think what's coming up, you know, a lot on these conversations I'm having with other multi-passion mamas is that they really get it is all about the journey and not so much about the destination. I mean, it's very important. I mean, it's like that GPS metaphor, and I think all of us sort of heart-based mama, you know, entrepreneurs and artists, that we really we realize that we have this internal GPS system, and it's absolutely going to guide us in the direction of our dreams, of our joy. But, you know, first of all, we have to kind of plug in the destination. We have to say, you know, my goal, my dream is to create this. And but then I'm going to trust that my internal guidance system is going to lead me there, because I really want the journey to be fun and filled with joy and connection and meaning. And again, you you've created that journey for so many people on the Wish Studio. Can you just tell me how you came to create that? I mean, it was just fairly recently. Gosh, I know in internet years, it seems like, you know, I've heard them described as dog years. You know, that one year feels like
so
seven.
True.
Yeah, and I know that you did a huge, like, revamp of your site so that, I mean, it was beautiful before, but now it's just absolutely gorgeous. But let me know, I actually don't know when did you create Wish Studio, and what was your initial, what was the inspiration there?
Well, Wish Studio was really born from kind of an organic longing to connect with other moms, to express my creativity, and to really create a space for people to gather and share and connect. And it's so funny how you say that about the virtual world and the timing. It seems like, you know, I've been a blogger forever, and it's really only been since my first son was born. He's almost going to be seven, and I think I started blogging probably right after he was born.
Wow.
So it's been about almost 7 years, and, you know, I just started as a blogger, just as a creative outlet. It was really my way of having some me time, and I'm sure as all your moms can relate, that those early years of child rearing and being a mom for a little one are so demanding and really intense. And, of course, so joy-filled. But sometimes it's very easy to lose yourself in all the responsibility and the things that you need to do to take care of your little one. So blogging was really the thing that was my outlet and was my way to connect with other adult moms. So you get lost in all the baby talk and the baby things. So it was just so nice to be able to put some words out there and some thoughts and some beautiful photos that, you know, that might touch another mom or another creative person. And that really evolved into connecting with a lot of really interesting, really fabulous, really talented women who kind of wanted to come along on the journey, and there's that word again, mm-hmm. with me as well. I think there were so many people kind of in the same place at the same time, and mm-hmm. I think we're so fortunate in this era of this virtual world and the social media. It's really changed the entire landscape of mm-hmm. A lot of people's creative and entrepreneurial lives. So, you know, I feel like right in the moment I was beginning to jump into that world and also becoming a mother, though, it just automatically entwined those two worlds in such a beautiful way and opened up so many opportunities and ideas and inspiration to really connect and widen my own world. Mm-hmm. So Wish Studio really came from that place, came from those connections and came from that yearning and desire to be creative and to put more out into the world. And it began as a tiny little blog, as anybody could start at any moment, and I just asked women who I really admired and enjoyed interacting with online to come over to my little blog space and share a little bit of their inspiration, and it really just kind of took off from there. So so it was very exciting as things kind of grew on their own, and I needed to pack up and move to a new space, and that's kind of what happened last spring when the new Wish Studio website was created to, you know, house all the exciting things that were just coming to be from all the great creative energy that was gathering in the Wish Studio. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what started as just a simple blog with, you know, a few really amazing voices has really turned into an amazing, vibrant, dynamic community that's a virtual space, but also now is kind of branching out into my entire life, and it's really been quite a magical experience.
Mm-hmm. Because you are now, I mean, I know you've done workshops for a long time, but it now sounds like when you said it's really, you know, the community, I mean, the very large, vibrant community on this blogosphere, on the web, you are now creating, like, big events to happen in the, quote-unquote, real world. You know, as I understand, you have you're planning a big event called Mother Plunge for September, right?
Yeah.
Is this, I mean, but maybe I had missed other ones, but this seems really big because you're having, like, Karen Mason Miller, and, I mean, so is this your first really big event, or have you had ones in the past as well?
The Mother's Plunge is going to be a fabulous event, and it really is Karen Mason Miller's event. I only via the Wish Studio and our connection in that space was able to connect with her and kind of help her make that happen. Mm-hmm. So it is really a Wish Studio event, but I definitely kind of played a role behind the scenes, which was really mm-hmm. exciting. It was such you know, she lives on the West Coast, mm-hmm. and you know, she was really searching for a space and some help to try and bring her Mother's Plunge, which is a one-day retreat for moms, mm-hmm. To the East Coast, which is where I am in the Boston area. And it's just magic how you can make a connection and throw a wish out there into the universe, and you can mm-hmm. bring it to life. That always amazes me and astounds me. So
exactly.
So yeah, it's going to be a great event, so, and I'm so happy that I was able to help her make that happen.
Well, again, I mean, it's so lovely to acknowledge that, gosh, you can throw these wishes out, and then very often there will be someone who will catch it, you know, and then,
like
the seed, you know, plant it and nurture it, and so that it becomes something that you could have never, you know, imagined, and that's what happens.
Right.
I see in the blogosphere, unlike any other place, and I think the best word to describe it is probably magic, because it really, maybe because we don't have so many expectations about how things should look, because we don't know. I mean, like, well, I'm going to put this out here, you know, in the blogosphere and see what happens, and, you know, I don't expect much to happen. I mean, what is the blogosphere anyway? But then very often, you know, something amazing comes back from it. I mean, something real. And so you start to feel like, wow, well, gosh, if I didn't have, you know, if I wasn't so tightly focused on maybe some of the other things in my life, having, looking a certain way, you know, seeing, you know, thinking that I know the outcome that I want, maybe if I were just, you know, sending more wishes out in that sense,
yeah,
and not being so attached, maybe more would take, you know, wing, or maybe more would find people to catch them and you know, anchor them or plant them, nurture them, that kind of thing. I mean, you really articulated something that I have noticed, I've been aware of, but I haven't been able to, you know, describe it like you just did. And I think that's so great. Anyone who's listening to this again, and I just expect there are going to be a lot of mamas listening who have, you know, great ideas, wonderful ideas, you know, these beautiful wishes that
yes,
that they don't, you know, they thought, well, you know, I've tried in the past and it hasn't worked, and you know, I don't have a lot of confidence in, you know, giving that my wishes will get wings, or that they will, you know, that they're these, you know, tiny seeds that will become the mighty oak. But I mean, we're really here to say, and every single woman I've interviewed has confirmed this, that it really does happen. There's something magical that happens, and because every one of the women that are being interviewed on the series are women that I hadn't known previously, but I've met, you know, on the internet, and just like you, building your wish studio based on like making requests of people of people's work whom you admired, I've done the same thing. And so anyone, really, the message is anyone can do that. You know, sort of put your you know, create your plot, you know, your little garden spot, you know, start to, you know, clear it so that, you know, you can plant the seeds and watch them grow. And there is that work involved. I mean, for sure, it's not, you know, kind of that idea of the law of attraction of let me just, you know, like ask the universe. I think that, I mean, that's a part of it, but I think it's not just about asking, receiving, it's asking and doing. One of the women I talked with, Lissa Rankin, was talking about like disciplined action, you know, that you do the work around it, but that it doesn't feel hard in the sense of a
right,
grind. It really feels like a groove, you know, like how
yeah,
fun that I get to
I
do this. But for
great,
sure, there's that work involved too, but it's not hard in the grind way at all. And
no, it's not. It's an alignment of kind of your passion and your energy and your direction. It seems like when there's a sweet spot, and when you
mm-hmm,
can, you know, trust, like you said, trust in the journey, and put your wishes out there, that alignment starts to shift and kind of starts to happen on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I've seen, and I probably that's the most often that the question I get from women is, you know, how do you do that? How do you make this happen? And it is a lot of hard work, and that's absolutely true. But when it's driven by the passion and the momentum that creates this energy, then you're right, it doesn't feel like it's hard work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It does
mm-hmm,
sometimes, absolutely,
right,
but most of the time it doesn't, because you're kind of in... You're in the flow. You're not kind of going against the flow. So,
mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. Again, I think that you know, I was using the river metaphor recently too when you were talking about in the flow, and I still see, you know, that I've still got the oar. You know, I'm still in my boat. I'm still rowing, but it feels a whole lot different to be rowing downstream than it does to be rowing upstream. You know, and
yeah,
so
absolutely,
I just make sure that if it feels really hard, that's my thought is, oh, it's really hard because I'm going upstream. Well, let me see what happens when I turn the boat around and go in the direction of the flow, because it's always there. I've just
yeah,
taken myself out of it. And
right,
and so it is so fascinating. I mean, just, there always is opportunities to look at what's not going well, you know, like what's
right,
hard.
Yes.
And then there are always opportunities, you know, for what will go well. Like, just a quick story for me, like just today, I was frustrated by something that my publisher is doing. I have a children's book that is at the printers right now. It'll be, you know, in its hardcover state and in my hands, you know, next week. But
So exciting.
Yeah, so exciting. Well, so the small publishing company published it, and they really have so few resources, and so I'm really, you know, I mean, I understand that authors of big publishing companies are really responsible for the marketing and sales of their book, too, but some of the things that they're doing, I just, you know, it feels very upstream to me, like, you know, like, oh my gosh, you know, you're really making this harder than it has to be. But then there are always, you know, opportunities to say, oh my gosh, you know, isn't this going well? So the example is the publishing company sort of has this idea for this event that I'm going to do that doesn't sound like great to me at all. And so I was really not looking forward to it. And then so I started to think, well, what would be something I could get really excited about? And I just sort of put it out there, you know, like this wish that I wish that I could have an idea for, you know, the release event of my book that would feel really fun and not, you know, hard. And so then just last night I had met, I took my child, my five-year-old son, to an ice cream shop, and there was a young man, like in his 20s, doing this improv with a group of kids. And I just watched him doing that. It looked like so much fun, and I was like, oh my gosh, what if I got him to engage kids to do improv along the storyline of my book? And so I shared the idea. I got his card, and I talked to him today because, you know, it wasn't a good time to talk to him last night with all these kids around. But today I called him and said, do you think you would be interested? I mean, I'll send you my book, and, you know, you can see, and you can tell me no, you don't think it will work, or, you know, maybe yes, you could get some ideas. And he just said to me, oh, I can tell you right now, like, I am totally going to do it, and it's going to be amazing. thank you, universe, for putting this man in front of me last night when I was really thinking, oh, I'm not looking forward to doing it this one way, but I don't know how I'm going to do it another way, and so please just give me, you know, like a gift. And so I thought this guy is going to be leading, you know, little ones in improvisational, you know, theater around my book, and, you know, it's just, it's really...
How fun.
Exactly. So again, I mean, I just think, gosh, how long did I spend, you know, I mean, weeks I've been sort of dreading, you know, this event as it was being conceived by this publishing company, and then as soon as I decided, okay, this isn't working, I'm going to align with, you know, something that could possibly, you know, make me feel excited and joyful and expansive about it, boom, there it comes. So
there
again,
is.
I just think, yeah, there it is. And so
and again. I think often, too, with motherhood, I think we often feel responsible and at times feel like we have to toil. Like,
mm-hmm.
It has to be hard work. You know, we have to be mm-hmm. dedicated moms and put our kids and our family first, and we put ourselves often last
mm-hmm.
in that equation. And I think, you know, that's where often we're going against the flow, I think, as moms. And, you know, we're filling up everybody else's well before we fill up our own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, we're pushing against our own happiness. Like you said, you have to think of the things that are going to connect you with your joy and that are going to make your time filled with good things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important to do that for yourself as much as you do for the rest of your family.
Mm-hmm.
And people say that all the time, and it's sometimes harder to do than it is to say, but it is absolutely true. And I know fundamentally, having made that shift somewhat in my own motherhood life, it's, you know, you use a really good word. It is very expansive. You think that, you know, it's selfish to take time for yourself and it's taking away time from your family, but it somehow the energy grows and
mm-hmm.
you the time that and the quality of the time that you have with your family and yourself gets bigger and brighter and better. So
mm-hmm. I totally agree. You know, I was talking to one of my clients earlier today about the fact that she's in a nurse practitioner program, and she's struggling with this feeling like this is, because she has a job, you know, like a job that, you know, takes up her hours during the day, and she's decided to take this nurse practitioner program to get her nurse practitioner certification, and so it's taking up more of her time, and a part of her is thinking, what am I doing? You know, I'm taking more time away from my family, and for what? You know, especially when she's getting response back from people like, well, what are you going to do with that nurse practitioner certification?
But she,
there's something in it that is very exciting to her. And my point, you know, what we started to shift today is, what if you went into your studies thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to create so many opportunities for me. This is going to allow me to create programs that are going to change, you know, the face of healthcare, you know, in mental health services. I mean, how expansive that feels rather than the thought, this is taking me away from my family. And then, so when she's focusing on her work and she's thinking how great it is that she has this opportunity, you know, to change the face of, you know, mental health care in the United States, and then sharing that with her 16-year-old son, like, look what I'm creating. You know, it, again, it feels so positive, so expansive. And so he gets that because, again, I think we all appreciate as mamas that we are the greatest role models for our kids. And so, again, what do we want to model? You know, the toil and the grind or, you know, again, the joy and expansiveness of creating, something, you know, again.
And I
love that. You know, it's so funny to me that I don't think of myself as a visual artist at all. I mean, not a bit, you know, not a bit. And I know you would say, as all my artist friends do, like, oh, that's totally a mindset thing, and that's great. I totally appreciate that. But what I think is so great is that I go to your website because, and it's, there's so much, you know, again, just a feast for the eyes in visual art. And I do, you have done that so well of working that metaphor that our lives are works of art, you know, and you don't need to be, you know, be skilled with a paintbrush or, you know, anything artistic in order to consider your life a piece of art. And you're creating all the time, whether, again, it's with a paintbrush or it's a moment with your child. And you've done that so well on your website. And when did that just become apparent to you that you were sending this message that our lives, especially, you know, and again, your community is so clearly mamas, but I'm sure a lot of dads are, you know, enjoying it too because it's such a great universal message. But when did you realize that, oh my gosh, this is my message? I mean, was there, I'm just curious, like, how you created that message.
Yeah, I think it was a parallel evolution, I think, through my own journey of blogging and connecting and, you know, expanding my own horizons. It just became evidence. You know, it just became real. It was, you know, you hear the words often and you can listen to people say that this is what you can do, but when you really connect with that, which is what the blogging, what the community, what the creative outlet did for me, it kind of grew me my own life in the same way that it grew the Wish Studio community. So it was very parallel, and it was really quite a phenomenon for me because, you know, I've heard so many moms too with very young children say how that's so depleting, and how, you know, you're not going to have any time to do anything on your own or to be creative or productive. But it was really through the time, the growth of my children in their younger years, and I still have a young child at home. I have a son who's 7 and a son who's 1. So through growing through them and growing the Wish Studio space, I grew as well. So I think the whole entire project of Wish Studio just kind of blossomed to become, you know, my own life and my own practice. I think the idea of living creatively and living fully into your life just organically became my practice, and so that's what my message is in the Wish Studio too.
Mm-hmm. And then and you communicate it so well. I mean, did you always realize that you had that gift too of writing, in addition to the and the visual art, the you know, what we sort of consider more classically, you know, art. Did you, or
yeah,
was that something that you
know? No, I guess I never really considered myself a writer per se. I've always had the yen for, you know, writing in a journal and writing letters, and so that's always been a creative outlet for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always nice to kind of be able to come to a safe space online and be able to, you know, string some words together. And I always, writing always evokes emotion for me. It's just
mm-hmm.
that's also how I connect creatively with my work, whether it's through
mm-hmm.
writing or painting or whatever,
mm-hmm.
is really evoking and connecting to how I'm feeling in the moment. So it's
mm-hmm.
really was both creative and therapeutic for me to be writing. So
mm-hmm.
I really enjoy that process.
That's so great, and I hope that is as encouraging to other mamas as it is to me. That, you know, like you said, I didn't really consider myself a writer. I enjoyed the process of writing, but I didn't think that, you know, that wasn't, you weren't going in there as your métier, you know, as this
yeah,
is your,
and
you know, talent.
Too.
And you are so talented as a writer. I mean, your
oh,
writing
thanks.
Is wonderful. And so, yeah, so I love that. I hope that will be, you know, a little nudge to the mamas listening to out there who say, well, you know, I do this well, but not this. Well, no, I think what you, your message again, Mindy, is that we all have stories to tell. And if you
yeah.
just
yeah.
tell your story and, again, have the emotion lead it and not the, you know, again, that sort of cerebral part which says,
right.
oh, I'm not a good writer or, you know, whatever that critic says, you know.
Right, yeah. Because living life doesn't have to be technical. I mean,
mm-hmm.
living life is about connecting with your heart and connecting with joy
mm-hmm.
and building relationships. So there's no technical language for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very intuitive. And so, you know, I don't worry so much about dotting every I and crossing
mm-hmm.
every T.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on my blog, I can
mm-hmm.
just kind of write from my heart, and
mm-hmm.
and that's what I enjoy, and that's, you know, part of my process. And so
mm-hmm.
it's nice to kind of let that go a little bit,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
be able to just have that freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, I think the more that you do that, I mean, again, I just really encourage folks to go to your website because, you know, not only is Mindy not, you know, like maybe crossing every T, but, like, you don't capitalize. And, you know, just even seeing that, you know, that you don't capitalize in the first letter of a
yeah.
sentence, it just it makes you think, like, why do we do that? You know, like, there's, you know, if I don't feel like it, you know, I don't have to. No one's going to say, you know, anything
right.
the worst.
Yeah,
and so,
absolutely.
Yeah, just really, I love that you have all of these little things, you know, on your blog that just ask you to just question a little bit, again, like, you know, why are you being so hard on yourself? Why are you letting the critic come out when you could really just, you know, let them have
their own rules.
Absolutely, absolutely, by following, like you said, your heart, you know, that
yeah.
if you're coming from that connection, not, you know, fear about whether you're saying it right or whether, you know, people are going to, you know, think, you know, disparage you or aren't going to listen or, you know, whatever it is, if you can let that go and just say, you know what, just like everyone else on the planet, I have a story to tell and I'm so excited to tell it, you know, and it's, you know, it's a Marianne Williamson quote that I love, which is, if I, you know, feel compelled to say something, and again, to me, that's, you know, if I'm feeling compelled to say something, it's coming from my heart, that means, she says, that means that someone needs to hear it. Not that, oh, that'd be pleasant for them to hear it, or, you know, it doesn't really matter. No, they need to hear it, and I love that. So we all have stories to tell. It's about, you know, finding that heart connection, and then
right.
and then saying, and
so
you know what,
true.
Someone needs to hear it, and so I'm going to do the work, you know, and, like, talk down the inner critic or whatever it is,
yeah.
and get it out there, and, you know, again,
well, it's those stories, really, too, that connect us, because it's funny, when Wish Studio, in its early stages of evolution, I thought was going to be primarily about creativity, and how
mm-hmm.
it evolved into, you know, people really discovering things about themselves and diving deeper into their lives. It was just, you know, this discovery of how stories really connect us and are what, get us going and get us excited and can offer support, and that's what the foundation is of the Wish Studio, which I love. It's really, mm-hmm. you know, sharing experiences and real things that people can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, the creativity is it's the process. It's not the it's not the end result. So I love seeing women come to that space and finding things out about themselves through their creativity, because the creativity mm-hmm. is, that's the icing on the cake, so mm-hmm. that you get to be creative, but really the fundamental building blocks are your story and your experiences and how they intertwine and connect with other people
mm-hmm.
and the community that's built out of that, again, which I thought Wish Studio would be primarily about creativity, but it's really about these building blocks of relationships and stories. And so
mm-hmm.
it's amazing. I just, mm-hmm. I'm inspired and awestruck every day about
mm-hmm.
all the women who come to and share and visit that space.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, Lissa Rankin, who I interviewed for this program, who created Owning Pink, has a very similar
yes.
story. And so, you know, she's an OBGYN, and I didn't realize this. She just shared this with me on our call, that she had originally designed the site to be like a site for teenagers to learn about their, gynecology. I mean, she was writing this book on, you know, what's up down there, like what you would ask your gynecologist, and they thought, oh, you know, this would be a great book to offer to, you know, teenagers, young women who are just learning about their bodies, so let's create a website for teenagers to learn about their bodies. And then, but the people who started showing up were, you know, women in their 40s who are looking for a safe space to talk about, you know, their challenges and their triumphs. And so,
yes.
you know, again, Liz was like, you could have knocked me over with a feather, you know, that you know, my idea of this little site for, you know, teen gynecology was going to become, you know, like something completely different. So for me, again,
right.
it's just really
yes.
about, yeah, definitely show up, you know, show up with your little idea and then, you know, plant it and then see what grows, you know, because, and
right.
nurture it. Again, that's the work of it. And then be prepared to be surprised, you know.
My word. It's always changing and meandering, and you never know whose path you're going to cross, and you never
mm-hmm.
know what's going to come across your path. So it's
mm-hmm.
just, it's all such a wonderful journey. And,
mm-hmm. and again, it really strikes me the, you know, it's so much the mothering part, too. And then we do that with our children that, you know, we think, you know, well, they're going to be a product of their mom and dad and, you know, this upbringing that we give them. But how often do we look at our children and say, where did you come from? You know,
yeah.
and I mean,
yeah.
that whole Khalil Gibran thing, that they come through you, but they are not of you. I mean, it's
they
just
are not
like,
of you.
Yeah,
yeah, that's absolutely
yeah.
true.
Yeah, and I just think that's what all of our dreams are, too. And, yeah, that's why it's best to, you know, sort of get our sticky fingers off the controls and just really say, wow, I still believe in this, you know, the seed and the dream, and I'm going to nurture it, but I am going to be open to the fact that it is not going to look at all like I thought it was.
Right.
But as long as,
yes.
you know, I can again trust that as long as I'm feeling good about it, you know, or I can find the good in it, because again, I feel like it's almost like we're looking at a buffet at any time, and there are going to be things on that buffet that we don't like, we would never put on our plate, you know, and then there are the delicious,
right.
yummy things that we would love to put on our plate. So why keep looking at the things that you don't want to put on your plate, you know, like,
absolutely.
Stop
yes,
looking
true.
Over there. Yeah, and, you know, I just realized when you said that your youngest son is a year old, that you really are, you're the mama who has the youngest child, because, two mamas have, I think they're going on 4 years old now, so that's still, you know, I think in that little toddler age for sure, but gosh, the one-year-olds, I mean, they are still babies, so, you know, like,
yes.
how is that now? I mean, a seven-year-old and a one-year-old, I mean, do you just feel like, gosh, you know, I figured it out, you know, that I really do have energy for, you know, all these things. It's true. I mean, the first 2 years of my child's life, I wasn't, you know, creating anything else like all of my energy. But, you know, ideas were gestating, but I wasn't ready to, you know, I guess I would say sort of, you know, plant them and really nurture them a lot. But it seems like I would say you must be enough in a groove that it doesn't, because you're, you know, what you planted, I mean, 7 years ago was the beginnings of the Wish Studio with your initial blogging efforts. You know, now they don't require as, well, gosh, I can't even say that, Mindy, because you were pulling off a huge, like, revamp of your, you know, website, like, 5 or 6 months ago.
I know.
So.
Well, it's funny. I think maybe for me, and I'm sure a lot of moms feel this way with the second child, the second time around, and maybe it even changes with the third and fourth time around. I don't know if I'll ever know that, but that, you know, you really ease into your motherhood, I think, subsequently. And I think after my first, you know, all your energy goes into this new, brand new experience of becoming a mother. And with my second child, he came along, and you know, I felt really comfortable, and I felt like I kind of knew something, which is such a huge load off when you know, in the beginning of new motherhood, you're feeling a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear, and you know, it's really a tenuous relationship to begin with, and you're so overwhelmed with love and lack of sleep and all those crazy things. And I think for me, the second time around, the Wish Studio had a huge amount of its own momentum, and becoming a mother the second time around I had momentum from having a child already. So again, it was very much a parallel journey, being a mom and having the Wish Studio build and kind of blossom to what it is now. And I know it will change, and the road will turn, and it may end up becoming something else in another few years. Who knows? But
for sure,
it's really been quite an extraordinary experience.
Well, just so I have not used this word as much. I mean, ever. I haven't used it in any one of the other interviews. But what keeps striking me in talking with you is just the word groove. I mean, it just seems like you're so clearly in a groove mode, and you really described it, you know, as, you know, yeah, there's no energy for fear or, like, am I doing this right? I mean, all of your energy is, like, this is great and, you know, just more fun and, you know, like, and again, work, and you even said, you know, sometimes it's hard and sometimes it may feel like a grind, but your overall, you know, expression is very much, you know, that this feels, I'm in a groove, you know, that's all I can say.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I love that. And I think that must be, I mean, I would have loved to have heard that, you know, as a mama to a one-year-old, that, that things that you did, you know, like when your first son was a year old, you know, just starting that, you know, as you described it, your little blog, you know, like your little WordPress, your little blogger blog, you know, that, that you didn't have, you know, the idea that would become the Wish Studio 7 years later and it's all
right,
its
absolutely.
Permutations, but that those actions that you took 7 years ago, those were the balls that started rolling that, you know, became the snowball. I mean, the little tiny, you know, like little tiny ball became the enormous snowball from that momentum and traction, and that keeps coming up again and again in these interviews. Like one of the women I interviewed is Krista Bremer, who just recently had one of her articles published in O Magazine, and so that's huge. And her oldest child is 10, and she can very clearly remember, you know, finding out that she was pregnant, and it was an unplanned pregnancy. And so that thought that, oh my gosh, this is going to completely derail, you know, me being a writer, a professional writer. And then what, of course, has happened 10 years later is that her family life has completely informed her writing. I mean, her best pieces, her award-winning pieces, her pieces that get on Oprah, O Magazine, are stories about her family. And so, obviously, you know, she would have been successful no matter what, but what, you know, how lovely that the thing that she thought was going to derail her career actually, you know, strengthened it. And, you know, so her message was absolutely like, I wish, you know, I could have whispered in that, you know, young woman's ear, you know, don't worry, you know, it's all going to work out, and don't be so hard on yourself, and don't think that this little note that you're scribbling on the napkin as you're breastfeeding your baby at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're exhausted, don't discount that little note scrawled in the middle of the similar. And again, all of our stories are that similar. I mean, that's the message. That's why I chose, you know, the women for the series, is that all of them started with something tiny that they thought never could have imagined in a million years, you know, would become something significant. But the only thing that distinguishes the mamas on this series from anyone else there is that they continue to nurture it, even the dream, you know, no matter what. They were still, you know, scribbling on the napkins at 2 o'clock in the morning. They were still, you know, the 15 minutes that they got, they were sitting at the, you know, at their computer and blogging. You know, I mean, it's that's the only thing that I see distinguishes it. It's just the, like, persevering, basically. That
just engaging it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to continue to engage it.
Mm-hmm.
Because definitely it, as you said, it comes through you, and it's really powerful. It's such an amazing thing to think that that you can be, you know, a player in what your life will be in big and exciting and dreamy ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really magnificent.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, again, though, I mean, it's practically impossible. I mean, it is impossible to, like, wrap your brain around it. So, again, I would just say, you know, whatever it is that you feel called to, where your passion is, just give that a little more attention. Because, again, it's not realistic to think that any of us has, you know, 8 hours to, you know, drive, you know, something, drive something. No, we have the 15 minutes here and there, or the 2 hours,
right,
or the 4 hours.
Yes.
But it's never going to be, you know, a lot at the same time. That's been my experience, at least. It's never going to be, you know. Yeah, and it seems to be most mamas, but never doubt, you know, that those 15 minutes and those 2 hours, but do engage. I love that word that you said, engage with it. And I just think that that's such a powerful metaphor, that you really, whether you're calling it, like I very often do the conversation, you know, you really want to have the conversation with the thing that you love. So if it's, you know, a painting, if it's something that you're writing, if it's your yoga training, I mean, whatever it is, keep showing up, because, gosh, how many of us have, you know, entered into the sort of fragile beginning of any relationship, and you just can't know what's going to become come from that, but it's in building the relationship that you see whether it has, you know, the staying power or not. Because also, I don't want to dismiss that, you know, someone could, you know, engage in something, gosh, how many times, like, for example, before I had my son, like, I'd always wanted to learn how to play the piano since I was a little girl, and I never did. And so a year before my son was born, I saw I could get a piano on sale, like an electronic, like, keyboard piano. And so I got it, and I started taking lessons, and I really enjoyed it. But then I had my baby, and I really felt like that's not as important to me now. And even now, 5 years later, when I could carve out time for it, now my business is more important to me. Now my book is more important to me. So I'm not saying that, you know, that time, that year that I spent studying the piano was wasted. That's what I wanted to do at that time. It is no longer, like, the most compelling, you know, passion of mine, and that's fine. And I look at, you know, the piano in the house, and I think, oh, you know, won't it be great someday that maybe Griffin, my son, and I will take, you know, Suzuki lessons together, something like that. I mean, it still feels positive and expansive, but there's no part of me now that feels like that was wasted, or, oh, isn't that sad that I let that go, or, oh, I spent $500 on that piano, and that was, you know, wasted. No, I don't feel any of that, so it's fine to say, and I think mamas really get hung up on that, and it stops them from trying the next thing, because they said, I didn't do that well, or I didn't follow through there. And I'm like, you just didn't follow through because you weren't supposed to, you know, follow through. But is there something else that seems, you know, attractive and exciting to you? Well, you know, give that some attention, and, you know, and see where that goes, you know.
And I think I find a lot of especially creative people, or people who like to engage with kind of their inner workings, are often dabblers and slashers, like mother / entrepreneur / baker / painter / so and for a long time, I think people are so programmed to thinking that they have to choose one thing and be good at one thing, and I think most of us are probably not wired that way. We want to in enjoy all the different things that, you know, bring us happiness. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't, you have to be, you know, that old saying, jack of all trades, master of none, I think
mm-hmm.
is sometimes really misleading, because I
mm-hmm.
don't think we have to be masters in one specific thing. I think we can be
mm-hmm.
great at a lot of things, and
mm-hmm.
I think we can be mediocre at a lot of things, too,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's okay, because if they bring us joy
mm-hmm.
and they connect us to our flow, then that's
mm-hmm.
really what matters, not
mm-hmm.
whether or not, you know, you're being published or you're being, you know,
mm-hmm.
recognized in some big splashy way
mm-hmm.
that, you know, this is important. If it matters to you and if it makes you happy, then that's ultimately what matters.
Absolutely. I love that idea of, like, jack of all trades, master of joy. You know,
yes,
I know, like,
I love that.
let's change that, you know, so it's no
yes.
longer master of none, it's
right.
master of joy, because that really is, I mean, at the end of the day, I really think, you know, a happy life is made up of a series of happy moments, of happy days.
Yes.
And so it really is about going into your day and saying, you know, what is going to be most satisfying? You know, at the end of the day, what is going to make me happiest, and be open. You know, I would really like, again, if anyone can, you know, like, claim a wish or a dream that they carve out, for me, it can be just 15 minutes a day that I'm acting on that one thing, you know, that one wish, that one goal, just one thing, 15 minutes. And then I pretty much just show up, you know, okay, what's available to me now? Like, what would feel good for me to do right now? And so far, you know, I found that to be a pretty winning, you know, a pretty winning strategy for happiness, you know, is to set the intentions and to make a plan for, you know, nurturing those intentions, and then, you know, really just showing up for the rest of the stuff, because that isn't a big part of my day, is, you know, again, like, driving away at the goals. It really is, you know, about showing up for, you know, whatever is present, and very often,
yeah,
if I have those moments, very often it is like, oh, that's right, I have this interview scheduled, oh, that's right, you know, I wanted to follow up on that letter, you know, like, that's, you know, because I kind of have that to-do list like anyone does, but I kind of scan it and say, okay, what would, you know, make me feel most satisfied, you know, at the end of the day by doing it, and again, yeah, that's worked for me. I mean, how do you feel, like, how do you go into your day? So, again, I kind of go into my day, like, I think about the day the night before, and, you know, I think about the one thing that I can do that would be most satisfying, and I make a kind of a plan to do that, and then that's about it for the days. You know, I work in a hospital, and, you know, I have those days scheduled, and, you know, those days are pretty well set, but then, you know, I have the rest of the week, so I just work one 24-hour shift, you know, it's 24 continuous hours, and then the rest of my week is free, and I've designed my life that way so that I do have, you know, all this openness
nice.
To just kind of, yeah, it really is very nice. And so how do you, like, design? You talk, you know, I love that in your bio, the lifestyle designer, like, how do you design your life to have those satisfying, happy days?
Well, I think for me, what works for me is having some kind of rhythm. And the rhythm
mm-hmm.
is always changing, but to find a rhythm that's working for me maybe this week or this month, and
mm-hmm.
and being in that rhythm definitely helps. And
mm-hmm.
as any mom knows, there's always disruptions and sidetracks and derailments. So it's being open to those, because
mm-hmm.
I think the harder we push against things happening unexpectedly, the
mm-hmm.
more stressful our lives become. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I really try to stay open to kind of letting the day unfold as it will. And, of course, you know, I have things I have to get done.
Mm-hmm.
There are always those lists of have-tos.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I have also the list of to-dos that I want to get done, and
mm-hmm.
those don't always get done either.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can stay in my rhythm, which generally is, I'm a morning person, which I can't believe that I'm a morning person, but motherhood has totally converted my schedule from being a night person to a morning person.
Mm-hmm.
I get my most productive time in the morning, so I,
mm-hmm.
since I know that about myself, I try to align my rhythm with that,
mm-hmm.
and so I get up a little early, and I'll do a little bit of work if I can before the kids wake up,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I'll feed them breakfast and get them off to what they need to be doing, or put the baby down for a nap in the morning, and I can get some work done. But
mm-hmm.
if I have a somewhat predictable rhythm, it seems to be the best way for me to stay in that flow. And then it's just, again, really being open to the changes and the twists and turns and enjoying the little things that I do along my way. If I have to run out and get milk for the baby, then, you know, I'll go to the farmer's market instead of running to the grocery store and, you mm-hmm. know, look at all the beautiful produce and mm-hmm. buy a bunch of fresh little flowers. And so it's the little things, the small moments that keep me connected and grounded in gratitude and in my creativity in my day, because those things definitely fuel my creativity. Mm-hmm. Walking mm-hmm. town or going to pick up my son at camp and seeing what's going on there. So, again, it's just being constantly engaged with the things that might spark you or bring mm-hmm. you a little bit of joy, and it might be something unexpected or it might be something that you can kind of help along, but just being in that flow and in that rhythm for me really keeps my days kind of fairly unturbulent. But there are absolutely the days that, you know, just go completely awry, and, mm-hmm. you know, we're all entitled to those as well, you know, to have mm-hmm. our little mini meltdowns and mm-hmm. to have, you know, bad mama days and mm-hmm. just,
right, you know. Right, like we were, no one knows this because we started this recording after the snafus, but, you know, there were these series of problems in getting this call started, and so yes. Mindy and I both laughed, you know, as we're getting on, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a mama moment. And, you know, in these moments when things aren't going well, my mantra very much is, okay, I'm going to do my best to make the best of it. You know, that's all I can do. Like, let me just show up and do my best to make the best of it. And that has, you know, sustained me through many, you know, a meltdown of my child
right.
and my own, you know.
Yes.
That buoys me. And the other thing I really want to highlight about what you just described is it really reminded me of one of my favorite quotes, and it's from Iris Murdoch, and she said, "The secret to a happy life is a continuous small treat." And so,
yes,
you know,
I
like, that's what you described. You know, you described
yes,
that,
it is.
You know, yeah, I'll get myself a bouquet of flowers. You know, I'll just revel in all the beautiful, fresh, local produce. You know, I'll, you know, make sure and notice some funny thing that a kid's doing at camp. I mean, you
yes.
know, that's it. And when you can have that mindset, you know, that is looking for the continuous small treats, you know, that is,
yes.
I think that is the secret. A mini feast. I love
yeah.
that. That's wonderful,
yeah.
Mindy. Gosh, I mean, thank you so much. Here we are. We're coming up on an hour, and the time has just flown by.
It has.
Yeah, it's been
so delightful.
Such a pleasure to talk with you. And so, again, I'm going to leave your website. We're going to, of course, this will be a webpage where people, you know, are going to download this interview. But just in case, you know, it gets to someone, you know, it lands in someone's hands, I want to be sure that they can find you on your website, and that is thewishstudio.com. So that's all one word, Wish Studio. And I really hope that people will come and, again, bring a cup of tea and maybe a few pieces of delicious dark chocolate. That's what I
yes.
do.
Perfect.
And sit down and enjoy the visual feast that you have prepared for them. And so, again, thank you so much, Mindy. And I'll just hear your...
Thanks for having
yeah.
me.
Oh, yeah.
It was an absolute joy, and I really appreciate this time together.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And again, we have...